And just a word of introduction, if I may, to our topics at the moment. It's part of our Lent journey, to which there are 5 Sundays dedicated. Last Sunday was the introductory one where Dave led the subject of goodness and the introduction to the series. Today is the subject of knowledge. And next Sunday is self-control. The Sunday after is perseverance. The Sunday after is godliness. And then after that, we got Palm Sunday and Easter. Soon rushes up to us, doesn't it? We're going to listen now to our Bible reading, the key reading through Lent from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 2 to 8.
Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you very much, Mandy. Now, just to set the sequence of the service in order a little bit, I'm dividing our talk into two parts. This morning. The first part is the one which concentrates on the Bible reading we've just had, and the second part spins off it in a couple of ways and looks at another Bible reading which we're going to have. And when we've looked at those two parts, then we come on to the intercessions, and after that we come on to the communion service. So that's just a kind of how it goes on. So you can look at your watch and think, well, I think we're probably about a quarter of an hour from the end. But knowing him, we're probably half an hour from now. Is that okay? Anyway, I just thought I'd set the scene a little bit as we got quite a few items in here. So, knowledge. And thinking about Dave's introduction to the subject of knowledge last week, he spoke about goodness. And before he spoke about, who did he talk about on the subject of goodness? One of the Christian leaders. Yeah, that's right. Well, before then, he put on, did you notice, he put on for about 5 or 6 seconds a cartoon of Charlie Brown? Yes. Well, I can't be beaten by that, can I? I love that one. And yes, there is a T-shirt like that if anybody wanted to go and buy one. And, well, I did that mainly because my nickname for decades and decades and decades has always been Charlie Brown. So if you don't know what to call me or don't want to pronounce the name Freebury, which is actually Swedish, not British at all, then you can always call me Charlie Brown or CB. But knowledge and Charlie Brown are what we're thinking about this morning. But I'll give up on the Charlie Brown now and go on to other things. When we look at knowledge, it's not an item in itself. Although it's a very big word, it's a step on the way. In our series, as in 2 Peter, it's en route from goodness to self-control and then onwards to love. So it links back to goodness and it links on to self-control. And then after one or two others, it goes onwards to the final aspect, which is love, which is, of course, the big word in the Bible in so many different ways. So when we look at those verses and this progression, It's a progression from one to another, like climbing stairs. Climbing the stairs from goodness and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and so on. And as we climb the stairs, if we look to this passage, we'll see that there are two things that we need to be careful not to do. The first thing is not to get put on the naughty step. Right? Anybody going to confess to having been put on the naughty step, as you remember, years and years ago? Yeah, we're there. Anybody having put anybody else on the naughty step, like children? Yeah, there's nodding going on there. But if you were to look at verse 9, that's the naughty step. Because after the session that we read, the passage that we were read to, it says, whoever does not have these qualities is short-sighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. So these elements are really, really important. So important that if we don't have these qualities, then we're short-sighted and we're blind, forgetting that we've not been cleansed. We've been cleansed from our past sins. So don't take these things casually that we're studying, these words, these elements, because they're really important. So avoid the naughty step is one thing you might want to carry away from the service this morning. But the other thing at the bottom there is be careful you don't trip. Anybody ever trip down the stairs? Oh, yeah, I have. It's surprising how often you trip down the stairs when you've got varifocal lenses in your glasses. Anybody found that? You know, you go downstairs, you have to look like that, don't you? And I'm always tripping, especially when there's a little curve in the stairs. And the other day, Morris, you and several of us had to go right up there and try to carry some heavy church chairs that were being taken by somebody else down those little stairs. Did any of us trip? Well, not right down the stairs, but it's hard, isn't it? If you do these things, it says in verse 10 of that passage in 2 Peter 1, you will never stumble. So remember those two things. You got a beginning and an end, as it were, to those things. So putting it in context, as we climb the stairs, we need to be careful not to get involved in those two things. So let's have a look for a moment at that progression. It starts in the passage with talking about faith, and then it says faith expressed in the action of goodness, which was Dave's subject last week, the first of the list, deepens our knowledge of God. The action of goodness deepens our knowledge of God through our experience, of course. And that experience, secondly, deepens the knowledge of ourselves. Knowing God reflects on us, usually not very well in terms of our part, but it helps us to know ourselves, the good bits and the bad bits. And as we do that, we learn where we need to do self-control, where we're not being very well behaved in one way or another. Of course, as a husband, I'm behaving properly, aren't I? Well, you see, 56 years ago, yesterday, down the road at the Methodist Church, we had our wedding. And I didn't realise until afterwards that Anne didn't promise to obey because it had just become optional. So I've been the one who's been obeying over these past 56 years. Self-control, gosh. And self-control needs perseverance. And so they go on to godliness and mutual affection and love. So you've got this sequence that we're looking through, like climbing up a staircase. But today, let's look particularly at knowledge. It means lots of things. Do you recognise the little comment that people sometimes make? It's not so much what you know as who you know. When I was in business, I used to experience that quite a lot. Because if they were important people, they could get their own way no matter what other people were thinking. So that was a very common thing. Not so much what you know as who you know. But it means lots of other things. You see the other three mentions of knowledge in our passage in verses 2, 3, and 8, and we're going to have a little look at those now. And each of those give a little bit more foresight on what knowledge is about. Because if we go back to verse 2 in the passage that we read, the first is in verse 2, which says, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." So grace and peace in abundance is what knowledge brings us. It invites and brings us understanding, its information, its relationship, its outcomes. That's the first mention, grace and peace through the knowledge. Then in verse 3, quite similar but differently put, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness." And then we go on to the end of the reading that we had. "If you possess these qualities that we've just been going through, in increasing measure they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So the key there is this word knowledge is in the middle of this list, but it keeps getting mentioned and mentioned and mentioned. So if you go back to 2 Peter chapter 1 at some stage, look at the progression of the understanding of knowledge as we go through those, as well as the sequence of these different things. And then look at that word knowledge in the New Testament Greek. It's quite a specific and a very special word. It wasn't an everyday word in New Testament Greek. It wasn't just about knowing facts. The Greek word was gnosis, which became an important Christian word. It was an important philosophical Greek word, but became an important Christian word. And it meant knowledge of a special kind and of a relatively high character. It had a spiritual emphasis, not just a factual emphasis. So it's a very, very deep sort of word. And more particularly, knowledge in the early Christian community was used in respect of Christian enlightenment. In other words, when God enlightens and informs us, it's him who gives us knowledge and understanding, as well as we who suck it in for ourselves. But it also includes the knowledge of God and Jesus, as the above verses that we've looked at have shown, and the godly issues, including a deeper understanding of them. So as a result of that, if we go on to knowledge again, on this same heading, it's word gnosis. Firstly, it's a significant experience in itself, as well as a step along the way. So this deep word, gnosis, knowledge, is an experience in itself, and it's an important one. But I just want to have a thought to leave us with when we're talking about knowledge on this part of the service. It doesn't happen by itself. We need to work at it by our Christian life and by our learning. So we're going to be busy thinking, doing. And by moving through the next four steps also, it takes us forward. And those that we're due to look at during this Lent series: self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. And we come back to that subject, the remaining parts of that subject, in a little while. But we're going to have our second Bible reading now. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it's a very well-known and quite famous passage about spiritual gifts, including, guess what? Knowledge. Let's listen to it now.
"There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines.
Thank you very much. Now, part one of three parts into which our talk is divided is describing knowledge, which is what we did before. Now, as more or less illustrations, we're looking at number two and number three. One is knowledge as a gift of the Holy Spirit, and number three is knowledge as part of Christian assurance. So let's have a look at those now. And first, knowledge as a gift of the Holy Spirit in part of the Bible reading we've just had together. And these are the verses where it's relevant. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge. And note that in the Greek that Paul wrote here, it's the same word that Peter used in his letter. It's the word gnosis. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, and to another, and so on. And knowledge as a spiritual gift is something that almost enhances it, because the other things that we are looking at in Lent aren't mentioned in this spiritual gift list in the same way, or in fact at all. But when we receive a spiritual gift, it is something very, very special. And I think I mentioned before when I took communion here before that one of the prayers that we're going to be using just before we take the communion is the prayer that invites the Holy Spirit to come into us as we eat the bread and drink the wine. And so many people, as they've had that wine and that bread for communion, have felt that, whoosh, something comes out of them. Something happens. They're filled with the Spirit. They have a very special experience. And that's the kind of thing that we're looking at. It's an experience that can be felt sometimes, not always, but felt. But it's something that the Spirit gives us. Sometimes that message of knowledge, as it's described here, is something that we're already competent at. Something we can already do, something which we've been brought up to do or trained to do or study to do. Sometimes it can be something completely new. Sometimes it can be something which we've not done before and we may not be very good at it at first. Now, let me let you into another secret. I had two new things this week. One was lifting heavy great chairs down from the... I was only told they were going to be in the cellar. And then after we lifted them out of the cellar, we went up there. But the day before that, I was in the BAP and I was doing a manuel. I was on waiter service. I only knew how to do it because I'd seen Fawlty Towers. But although this I found was a new gift, because guess what? I didn't actually spill anything. I didn't drop anything. Gosh, you learn new things all the time. But that's not just a joke. It's say God gives us spiritual gifts which are new or enhanced or whatever. And that knowledge as a spiritual gift is something which the Holy Spirit enhances as we go on and our experience builds up. So it's quite special in that respect. So that's the number two. Let's go on to the number three now, which is Christian assurance. Now, in this particular section, I just want to suggest that there are three words that are linked when we're looking at Christian assurance. They're not necessarily in this order, but one is knowledge, one is faith, and one is Christian assurance. When you look at faith, the word of faith, I like to think of faith as a bridge between what we know and what we don't know. A bridge between what we know, for example, what we know a fact for which we have evidence or experience, and for what we don't know but we believe. So faith is something where we don't know for sure, or can't know for sure, but we believe. It's like a bridge, hence the Clifton Suspension Bridge. Anybody walked across that? Yeah, a few people have, haven't it? Yeah. I usually, if I'm going to Bristol, I usually drive round it because I don't like paying for things like that. Why should I pay when I can drive another mile to go round a different way and don't have to pay to go over the bridge? But faith, we can see in this respect as a bridge. It's a lot of other things besides, but as a bridge to cross over between what we do know as a fact and what we can't know or don't know. Moving on from that, an example of things we know as a fact. We know for a fact that we're human, we're in charred, we're living day by day here. We know that there are several other planets circling the sun in the solar system. You could see two of them very close together this past week on the clear evenings. Anybody know what they were? Jupiter and Venus. Yeah, really, really clear. And if you looked above those, you saw Mars. So we know that they're there now. And it's a fantastic thing to know as a fact. Not so happily that there is a war in Ukraine and earthquakes in Turkey. And because of the news coverage and videos that we have these days, we know so much more about that situation, which means that we can pray so much more factually and we can send aid so much more factually. So things we know for a fact. But what we can't prove as a scientific fact is, for example, that there is a God. And I think that is God's deliberate choice, because if we could know for a fact there is a God, we wouldn't need faith, would we? Can you follow the logic there? We don't know, and we can't know that there is a God. We can't know as a factual thing that God is love, in that sense. We can't know as a factual thing that the Bible is the inspired word of God. But it is faith that bridges these gaps. And there are a lot more things than that, that the equivalent of the Clifton Suspension Bridge will actually help us to bridge. But where knowledge comes in is that knowledge helps to give a firmer basis for our faith. In other words, we are more informed. It's a sturdier bridge. We know more about the evidence. If we're thinking about the Bible as the inspired word of God, we can study and learn more of the evidence that, yes, it does seem to be that. So the bridge to faith is easier to cross. And that knowledge enhances our faith to help that. And as I put in the bottom point here, our faith plus our knowledge, plus a big hand from the Holy Spirit. You remember the gifts of the Holy Spirit from 1 Corinthians that was read? Our faith plus our knowledge plus a big hand from the Holy Spirit is Christian assurance. What I'm going to do now is just to read you an example of somebody's experience of Christian assurance. It happened on the 24th of May, 1738, to an Anglican vicar called John Wesley. And in his diary, he wrote this. In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street, where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistles to the Romans. Anybody read Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans? It is so boring. Anyway, forget that. About a quarter before nine, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. So you have the knowledge, because he was a trained Anglican priest and had been so for quite a number of years, and you had the faith which suddenly came like that to him at that moment, and his word that just came out of him at that time was such a big word, assurance. Put those together and that's how we have this. So what we've been looking about, we've been looking at the knowledge as to what knowledge means, and the knowledge in terms of the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the knowledge in terms of Christian assurance. And let's simply tuck that away so that we can take it onwards towards next week and the weeks after in our Lent study series. We share the grace together now. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.